Hey, it's Kelly here. Thanks for joining us. Once you're finished listening, I'd like to invite you to join our free private practice community, where you can connect with over 10,000 therapists just like you and get access to over 15 hours of free trainings, including some that qualify for CEs. Visit our website at zinnyme.com and click community at the top of the page. We'll see you there.
Okay, so this has been a week for you all, but for us, it's just been 5 minutes. Last time we talked about what is really happening with therapists right now who happen to be our ideal clients. And this time we're going to start digging into how do we take that knowledge and explore what the different options are, and so that we can figure out what we want to do next. Because there are lots of things that we could do. And part of being a business owner is it's not about having lots of ideas. It's not about having lots of brilliance. Being a business owner long-term, I'm absolutely convinced, is about discernment. It's about that relational connection and being able to connect in with what to say yes to, and more importantly, what to say no to. I think the most important things in our business development, I think, have always been the things that we said no to.
What do you think?
Okay, so I'm thinking of, so many things. Okay, so one example is, we were doing an 8-week program and we were working with some coaches were very, very committed to this being our process. And when we first started our business school, our coaches said, no, that's not what you need. And I pushed, and they said, well, if you can sell 10 of them or something, then maybe we could talk. And we sold 50 of them and we fired them and said no to their process and said no. And then I think about my most awesome conference, which was such a cool thing, and something that was so amazing. And yet it was something that was so all encompassing and took so much time and energy for us that it was keeping us from doing other things. And that's, we had to say no to most awesome conference to say yes to my awesome year. Mm-hmm. And the results that we have gotten for those one-on-one clients. Mm. I mean, there's amazing stories that come out of most awesome conference for sure. But I think the deepening of connections and the kind of personalized long-term work that we like to do is definitely in more of that.
Yeah.
My awesome year.
Good examples. Yeah.
We're doing the accountable practice, right? Kelly mentioned it randomly, TAP, but you guys don't know what that is, but we have an accountability coaching program for people that have been through boot camp, so they can have twice monthly coaching, to keep them on track and moving through that process. But that program came after us saying no to a previous group coaching program that we didn't feel like people were getting great outcomes from. And so people had been begging us to do a group coaching program, mm-hmm. because our one-to-one was full for so long, but we were we didn't get good outcomes. It didn't feel good to us. We didn't feel like people made big transformation and change. And so it was no, I'm going to say no to that income because there's got to be something better. And we didn't bring it back until we're oh, yes, that's what we need. We need people to have, coaches. They do need their own coach. They need their one-to-one coach. So I think that's the piece right now, is we're trying to figure out that discernment of what are all the different options. So let's put it on the table. What are all the options and things that we're thinking that we would do next?
And just for people to understand that we've been pretty committed to offering free trainings monthly. We've been paying guests to come in and do those free trainings. Yeah. And we also would like to do some of those trainings as well. So we know that December is a month. So November, we have a health insurance training for private practice owners. Now, we know that December is a month and an opportunity for us to serve in a new way, and we're wanting to be innovative.
Yeah, intentional about that. There's lots of things that we already know, right? Like, we have big names coming to you next year with these trainings. We have Barbara Griswold coming to do a training about like what you should know about insurance, even if you're not on insurance panels, and she has some really important things to share with you all. We have Ellen Bader, who's coming to do a talk about like couples counseling in private practice and how that looks different and how can we really like support that process.
We have a subpoena and court training, yes, with Nicole Stoller Peterson coming up. So there's just a lot,
yes,
planned, but December is...
December is a month where we know that there is need out there, that like people need us now. And it's that question of what do they need? And so we've been talking about like, is it something that we need to offer? Like, is there a webinar? Is there a retreat format? Like, do people need a retreat in December? Is that something where we would do like a masterclass like we've done before, but maybe on a different topic, you know, talking about the issues of burnout or this revamp and rejuvenation?
It could just flat out be an email series where there's, yes, no time binding, you know, what, yeah, I can't speak English today. No, it's not. It's not time bound to, yes, like a webinar or something like, yeah, that, where we have to be live at all.
Yeah. And it could be like pre-recorded videos.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I'm writing these down, and again, and these are things like we've done all these things before. So like we know how to do all of them. Nothing is like brand new. It's just that discernment of figuring out like what would be best. Would it be a 1-hour training? Would it be to watch a video? Do we need people to be in community? Do we need to do the same training on 3 different days? Yeah. Kelly's like, no. And I think that's the other part too, is like, here are all the options and like, what do we need as well? Like, and like, for example, with the pre-recorded video trainings, we've done this in the past where people are doing, where we have the videos that get released each day, and then people are coming and watching and commenting on the video. And we have people where it's like, hey, anytime from like 8 to noon Pacific or 6 to 9 Pacific or what have you, come in and we'll be answering questions. And we just kind of do it in a different, kind of same, but different kind of environment. So people can have that experience. So we're trying to figure out format and then also topic, right? So these are like the formats. We could do webinar, we could do a virtual retreat, which we've done before, where we do it for like 6 hours. We could do masterclass, which is where we do it over like 4 days, maybe 4 60-minute trainings or 4 90-minute trainings. We could just send out emails that we think are really inspiring and helpful, or we could connect people in with pre-recorded trainings as well. Right. So notice that, right? Like maybe some of you are like, ooh, that's a lot of decisions. And that's not even talking about topic. Right. And I think that's something that a lot of our clients don't realize initially, is that you can look at format, and sometimes like the topic will tell you what format. And so I like to kind of know that. Yeah, I like to go back and forth, and I like to look at the topic, because there's certain topics that you couldn't do in a 1-hour webinar, you know?
And what everybody else doesn't know is that we do want to re-record some of our free trainings that are in our community. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 definite ones that we just want to refresh,
yeah,
and continue to infuse more of the outcomes research that we've been doing into, yeah, each of them. And to brand them cohesively, because we have been doing this so long, things evolve. Some of them have been around for a long time, which is great. And there are some of our top watched ones, like how to set fees or our niche one, but we want to just kind of update, yes, it, refresh it. So we have that project as well. So there's also this, yeah, other complication of, you know, does that fit into this or, yes, not? And, you know,
yeah, our original thing. So we used to do something called the Private Practice Challenge. And in the private practice challenge, we kind of like walk people through, and it was like private, create your business plan. So how do you do your business plan? You need to know what your private practice vision is. So we had a training on that. Then it was like, well, we got to figure out the money. So that was how to set fees. Well, now we got to figure out who we're going to be working with. So then it was like developing the niche. So it went through the process. And, you know, maybe like probably like 2 months ago, we put this on the schedule. Like, yeah, this is going to be perfect. We'll re-record these videos and we'll do this whole process. And then watching what happened with the last masterclass, we're like, people are really tired. I don't think they want a challenge. I don't think that they want like 4 days of how to. Yeah. Like, I don't think people have the energy for it. So this is also like a part of us having a plan and kind of pivoting and saying like, well, maybe we'll just re-record those just on our own. We don't need to put it as a part of a thing to do it. But we also love training live, like is our favorite thing. So it's just, we're in the thick of it, guys. We're in the thick of it.
Into the thick of it.
So topics, again, what we had in our mind was private practice challenge, but we thought maybe we might change the name from challenge because nobody wants a challenge right now. So we did have that as a thought. And then as we were like having the conversations earlier, what were some of the other topics or thoughts that you have, Kelly, about what people are really needing? Because we don't think that you need a private practice challenge right now.
I think that, look, and I know we have to talk about vision is usually this time of year where we do that anyway, but I think there is something about if we're addressing the flight, freeze, I keep wanting to say fright, flight, freeze, whatever, of like, there's a need. One of the things we were talking about the other day was what each of those needs is, like rest. Where do you have the note for it? We came up with it, like rest. Oh, here it is. Wait.
So like the fight one needs escape. They need relief, rest, and energize. Right. And then like the freeze needs to move into we actually did it for one, which is funny. But I think the freeze needs creativity. They need freedom. They need safety. Right. And ultimately that is what's going to lead them to feeling energized.
Yeah.
Right. And then flight, I think again, needs that sense of safety. And they need a grounding. Like, right. How do I connect in with where I should be? Cause otherwise there's a lot of therapists right now running around like a chicken with their heads cut off right now, thinking like, okay, I just need to write a book or I need to do this or I need to do that. And that's going to save me from how I'm feeling. And it's not.
So I'm wondering if, I don't know, one of the ideas I had was that addressing that whole vision thing, and usually you do it from the perfect day exercise, but maybe more approaching it from how do we create safety? How do we elicit creativity and passion and find our freedom back into, so we move out of the trauma response. So like taking the vision, but kind of flipping it a little bit. I don't know. That's one of the thoughts I had for like a training. Yeah. Now that could be done in a one-time webinar, or it could be done like in an email thing where we break it into little chunks and like people get small, like 10-minute snippets of like, here's what we're going to do first. This exercise of meditation, this exercise of where, you know, one of the things that came up yesterday in some coaching with clients is where I'm noticing is this lack of, you know, just getting stuck and being rote about our business. And we need to bring ourselves back into it and then kind of let our personality shine and our passion shine, and figuring out how to make the business accommodate our desires and passions, not trying to fit ourselves into whatever we think a business should look like.
Yeah. Like, how do we create some fun and connection where we feel really good about what we're putting out in the world?
Right.
Yeah. I think there is something about that, like the private practice vision. I think there's almost like we're talking about, I kept calling it Con Marie, but Marie Kondo. several years ago, we did a tidying up your practice. And it was
how,
like,
do you remember these things?
Because I wrote them, Kelly.
I mean, I did too.
You did. I that one in particular.
particularly of the person who does Marie Kondo in her life. Like, come on, this is kind of weird.
It is pretty funny.
How do you remember this stuff?
Kelly has like the most organized garage that has.
Not now, but yeah.
Well, in general.
I'm working on it.
It's being in general. Versus I am like the person that she's like, I had to go out and buy this thing. I was like, I have that in my garage. You need to not buy.
If I have too much of something, I'll be like, you want to store this about Zinni Me in your garage? Because I don't want it. Okay. Anyway, so yes. Marie Kondoing. Oh, we did do a whole series.
We did a whole series on it several years ago. But I think there's something about that, like the reconnecting in, like what brings you joy, right? The like, even if it was just that, like the idea of like a reset, the private practice reset, or the private practice like joy patrol, joy squad. I'm such a dork and such a nerd.
Joy patrol. Joy patrol.
What does that
connect to?
Like Paw Patrol. I don't know. I have no idea.
I was thinking Joy Division, but that's
not related
at all. Just had the word joy in it.
Just had the word joy. But I think there's something about that. And there was actually, and when you said like the emails and the little thingies, my first thought was like, no one's opened up their damn emails.
I know. That's the other thing. It's like, it's in the series. That's the other thing I was going to say as you were talking. I was like, people aren't going to open up the email. That's the thing right now. Like nobody, and especially in December, my gosh, you know, because it's going to be.
Yeah. I think that almost like, if we think about no matter what the topic is, and obviously we'll send out reminder emails and stuff like that, it can't be dependent on someone opening up an email. Like it almost feels like it needs to be time dependent, as much as I don't want to make it time dependent, just so that people have a sense of like, oh, I'll do that in a week, or I'll do that in days, or I'll do that next month, when people really need to change now. You know, like we have started for some of our trainings having the 7-day recording where like after 7 days, the recording expires. And let me tell you, with our whole hearts, it like drives us crazy to not just say like, it's going to be there forever. But what we find is that people will think that they're going to watch the recording. They don't. And then it just becomes like, what is the reel that's going around right now? They're like, let's do a thing, you know, show the book you're reading now. Show the last book you read, and then show the book you meant to read, and the other book that you meant to read, and the other book that you had to read, and the other book that you had to read, and the person just starts like jumping like books. Like, I think that's how people feel right now in terms of emails and recordings and other things. Like, if there's not a time around it, like, what is the point? Like, I think people need a retreat, you know?
But I think this topic could be done bite-sized or in one whole, but I don't think like masterclass style.
Oh, no. I'm the same thing too, of like, they can't come like day after day. Like people don't have the energy. It's like, we have to give them an experience and a transformation where like they leave that hour going like, I feel better.
Right. I think that, so let's talk about that. That's the other aspect we always come at. What do we want them to feel?
Yeah.
We want them to feel the opposite of the freeze, flight, fight. We want them to feel the grounded freedom, energy, safety, clarity, that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, even if it's just one thing that they're going to do differently. I think too often people are like, well, let's just teach a whole plan and you and I can pack it in.
Oh, we are terrible over trainers.
But I think if we could have an emotional shift for people, a release for people, ooh, that kind of brings up an idea about like, what are exercises for the releasing part, like how we do breath work and stuff around that. But yeah, I think we want that emotional levity.
Yeah. And I think, and I would say like, and I'm going to say the word physical as well, like that physical shift, because I think it's tied together. Like if you don't feel different in your body and in your like, in your soul, like then you're going to, again, keep recreating and living in that space that doesn't feel good. you know, like, I mean, like, that we need a soul shift. We need like a whole.
I feel like I'm in a soul cycle class. I like it. A soul shift. Oh, man. That's been class we took.
We did.
You've got this. You're going up the mountain. You can conquer anything. Okay.
I'm like, just put on some music and let's dance. Like, I'm fine. We're going up the mountain.
Okay. So that's just one idea, is the whole vision thing. And then, but flipping it into more of emotionally how I want to feel. How do I move out of these trauma states and into a more grounded space? What other ideas do you have?
I guess the idea, and it's more like the titling of it, but like in that same space of like, to go from the standpoint of burnout, like, but it's, I struggle because I do think it's not really, it is burnout, but it's not like, I think what people are experiencing is some of it is burnout and some of it's a trauma response. You know, and so that I think a lot of therapists resonate with the idea that it's burnout more than the idea that it's a trauma response.
You think so? I'm not so sure about them.
It might be six of one and a half dozen of other.
I think so.
That article that went viral on like HuffPo about therapy. Kelly's looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. That went viral on HuffPo about therapist burnout and next pandemic, or like that's like the next wave is like the fact that all these people that are compassionate. Yeah, like here's what that looks like. So I think that there is some knowledge of that, but I don't know that I've heard people saying, hey, we're in a fight, flight, or freeze, and that's why people are being so unkind and so nasty to each other on Facebook groups. Like I've seen people ask a very, like, especially like green therapists right now, they're going in and asking a question. They're like, I need to figure out how to, like, I don't remember exactly what was happening for teens and like sexual abuse reporting. And instead of saying like, oh, hey, that can be really confusing. Here's a link to a, you know, California website nonprofit that'll break it down for you. It's like people being like, well, why are you even working with teens if you don't know that off the top of your head? And like people being like, just like, well, you shouldn't be working with this person. You should be referring them out. Like how dare, like, and then literally like calling names, like the amount of people I booted for using like really nasty profanity in professional therapist group, and then have come back and said like, how dare you take me out for like saying nasty or literally like making physical threats on people. And then they have like questioned why they were booted from a group for making physical threats. And you're just shaking, you know, scratching your head going like, oh
yeah,
we're in a different space.
I don't know. I feel like in the circles I'm in, I do feel like there is a connection to trauma, but more of like a collective trauma. Mm-hmm. And you know, especially with more discussion, thankfully, still more being need to be said around social justice and racial issues and those things also being spoken of as a collective trauma for those people who face oppression and marginalization. And then we have the collective trauma of COVID. And I feel like it is talked about some, but I mean, either way.
Yeah.
I think there is something to this, like burnout isn't about, and we talk about this in our book that we're writing, it isn't about like baths and massages and all that. You do need to bathe and
whatever. And a bath can be nice, but that's not, you can't bubble bath your way out of an unsustainable life.
Yeah, and that's what we were saying earlier in our last time was about how it's a systemic thing and what do we need to do to the business as a system. But I do kind of wonder if people at this point don't want to talk about that part. They just want to be seen in the pain and find some relief.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
What is that? When you say like be seen in the pain, what do you mean by that?
They want it acknowledged
mm-hmm.
and discussed in a way. Like I do think it is good to discuss it in this freeze. If I could only say it. because that's going to be a problem if we talk about it. Like, freeze, fight, flight.
Fight, flight, or freeze. I think you're doing it in like the backwards way. So maybe if it's fight, flight, or freeze, try it.
Fight. fight, flight. I cannot. I think it's fight, freeze, flight. Fight.
The triple F.
The triple F. Let's do that. The triple F.
Well, there's also, we're going to throw you off for a second. Sorry, this is a
squirrel. And fawn.
And fawn.
Fawn's easier though. This is not a fra-fla.
Maybe if it's fawn. Fight, fawn, flight, or freeze.
Fight, fawn, flight, freeze. Maybe. I think there's, that's what I mean by being seen it, having it, you know, like when we talk about, when in TAP or in bootcamp, when we talk about the emotional phases of business.
Yes.
Like it just helps people feel identified where they are in the process. That's what I mean by being seen. I'm saying like, oh, I see where I am in the cycle. And then talking about, okay, what do I need to do to get out of that cycle? I feel like, ooh, what if we taught that thing?
I think more this fight, flight, or freeze and fawn and showing how it shows up.
Yeah.
Inside of business.
Okay. Yes. And we can talk about how, what you do, like we do in the other model, like what it takes to move.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. And creating our own model for private practice. Cause I think the other one makes sense, but I don't think that one fully.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Like does this part. I think that would be cool.
But I like that whole, like, if this is where you're at, this is the one thing.
Yeah.
This is where you're at. And maybe help provide that one thing.
Yeah.
In the webinar. Like, if the freeze is to create safety, give ideas of how to create the safety.
Yeah.
Or do something in that webinar to create safety. You know, like mirroring the solutions through how we teach.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that's exciting.
Right.
Or we could totally do something different.
Yeah. No, but so there's, and so that we have that. So if we created like our little like graph or what have you, or whatever our visual was, and there'd be two parts of it. So one part is, or maybe more. Signs. So there's the identify of the signs, right? Then there is the like, what happens if you ignore.
Right. The shadow, kind of like the shadow of it.
Yeah.
And then the.
And then the, like, how do I shift?
Yeah.
How do I shift out? Signs,
symptoms.
Yeah, like signs.
The three S's for your four F's. I forgot that we were recording for a moment there.
That's okay. I think that's funny. This is the first time. And by the way, again, I'd love for you to review, even if you hate it, like do a review on Spotify or Apple so that we know if you're like, this is really helpful and we love it. Or if you're like, I really hate this, go back to your old format. That's really helpful for us to know.
The cool part is that whatever we end up creating, you can come see how it turns out.
Or not. If you're like, this is terrible. But if you're like, oh my gosh, this sounds like exactly what I'm looking for, come and check it out. Well, maybe by the time that we release this, maybe there'll be a way to sign up for it or go get on our newsletter so you can be the first to know. But yeah, let's really like dive into what this looks like, how you can see it in your, and I think some of these, like we can see it. First, we look at like, how do we see it in other people, right? Because I think, like I used to do a training, I always think it's so fascinating how in retrospect, you can see exactly how you're being prepared for something in particular. So like I worked at an EAP for the county, an employee assistance program, and we did all of these trainings. And some of the trainings I got to do from scratch, but some of the trainings were like kind of like already sort of developed and I was, you know, made to go out and do that. But we did this training called Dealing with Difficult People. And we went through all these different like personality types of like, what does it look like and connecting it into stress. But basically, when somebody's being difficult, it's a sign that they are stressed. And here are some basic ways that people will show their stress, like they'll show what's happening. And at the end of it, right? And they're mostly initially people are just identifying like, oh, this is Jerry in accounting, or oh, that's that jerk over here. But by the end, they can start to identify, oh, I'm
the difficult one.
Yeah, like here's what it looks like when I'm difficult. And when I can have more awareness that like, when I'm feeling insecure, when I'm feeling stressed, maybe I go into the fake know-it-all. I start talking a lot more, trying to like identify or I start spewing stuff out when it's not really necessary or needed, but that's the way that I feel my sense of like safety and security and like I'm helping, but that may not be helpful. Maybe I just need to like breathe and take care of myself. Right. So
this feels like a webinar. Yeah. This feels like a 1 hour training. This feels like, okay.
Yeah. No, I think it does. And I think, you know, here's the other part, right? So part of what we have to decide every time we're doing a training is how is this impacting the world? How is this transforming the person? And then also, how does this relate back to our business?
I think that's what we should do our next recording on.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. So next recording, we'll talk about like how we decide if something is going to be a free or a paid event. How we decide what the call to action is, like, what do we want this to lead to? Meaning like, in other words, like, what does this person need? Like, does this person need a free community? Does this person need bootcamp? Does this person need accountability coaching? Like, what does this person truly need? And so what's the offer that we'd like to make? Or is this something that we just say is just a paid thing that people come
and this
to.
Is not planned, y'all. This is us just, we are in it. So if you think that we know, we do not know at this very moment. We don't. Mm-mm. So don't be thinking that this is some sort of like thought out acted thing. This is the real.
Bless it. No, this is why we're saying, or why I'm saying,
you're
like,
saying.
I'm saying, I'd love to hear your feedback. If you hate this, if you love it, like, let us know, because this is something we're sitting here talking and have, you know, 4 hours to explore this and make some decisions, and thought we would see what you felt about like getting behind the curtain. And this is
totally our ATP format. You know, first you identify who it is that you're talking to.
I'm going to pause for a second. ATP is Authentic Transformation Proposition. And it's the way that we teach clients how to create a marketing message that does really connect in, where when the client reads it, they call up and go, oh my gosh, like it was like you were on the, you know, fly on the wall in my kitchen. Like, that's exactly how I feel. Like, yes, I need to schedule with you right now. So that's what we teach our clients in bootcamp and in all of our coaching programs.
We teach them and go through this process of like, who it is you want to serve? What is the pain that they're going through? How do you meet that pain? What's the transformation you want to provide? And then what's the next step? So we'll do the next step next.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So rate us, let us know, follow us, and we'll be back.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Starting a Counseling Practice podcast. We hope you are feeling empowered and have gained new knowledge about yourself and your business. We would love to continue supporting you in our free community for therapists. Just visit classroom.zenimi.com to join the fun.